We start on Yud Tesamid Aleph on the way bottom. There's two dots on the second line from the end. And the goal would be to, actually, we're going to be finishing a bit. I don't know if it'll be early in time, but it'll be early on the daf. So
on the dot or on the daf?
On the daf. Okay. And let's get started, because this is there's a bunch of different stuff going on in this Gemara. It's not overly easy. The Gemara picks up over here. V'chein shapasku gushamim ben geshem l'geshem. What we said in the Mishnah was on the Mishnah Yud Chesamid Beis, which is in the previous page, or if you're using Art Scroll, 500 pages ago. So what we said was that if pasku geshamim ben geshem l'geshem, meaning that they had geshem, but then they had a stoppage of geshem for 40 days, masriyan aleihem miyad. That is cause for concern, and therefore we are going to daven right away for that, because that is considered a makas batzoris. Now, makas batzoris, as we had mentioned before, batzoris literally means a famine, but it's not really a famine. It's just a quasi-famine. So now the Gemara is going to say, my makas batzoris. What exactly is this makas batzoris? Rav Yehuda Marav, maka hemavila de batzoris. It's a maka that is destined to come to a batzoris. In other words, if we see that rain does not fall for 40 days after the initial rain, that is cause for concern that it might ultimately lead to a batzores, to a real full-fledged famine, which is why we are concerned and we take action. Amar Rav Nachman says, Nara an Nahara, if we have a situation where there is no rain in a particular city, but it's easy enough to gain access to water from a neighboring city that is just across a river. So if it only takes crossing a river to get a hold of food, if there's no rain in a particular city, so there's no tevua, but we can get tevua from a neighboring city just by crossing a river, that's just basurta. That is not as big a deal as a full-fledged famine. But medinsa, but if we're talking a province or a country, exactly what we call a medina, I don't know exactly how we define a medina, but if we're talking having to cross Medinos in order to get a hold of Tavua, that's a little bit more serious, and that's a kafna. That's going to be considered a famine where everybody is going to agree we are going to need to cry out to Hashem for that. The Amar of Chanina, Rav Chanina says further, Sa b'sela, if a sa'a of wheat sells for a sela, so now, in other words, that's a very high price to pay for a saw of wheat. So if the cost of a saw of wheat has skyrocketed, ushchicha, but yet it is commonly found, meaning that there's plenty of tevuah around. So if there's plenty of supply, even if the cost level is high, then batzorta, that's only considered a batzores, where we wouldn't necessarily have to fast for that. We wouldn't necessarily have to call out in tefillah for that. But arba of sa'ah, if you have arba, I think he changed it to sa'ah. Yeah. Arba sa'in. But if you have four sa'in, bisela, so if you have four sa'in being sold for a sela, in which case, it's very, very cheap. But velo shchicha, but there's a shortage, so the supply is low. Even though the price level is also low, there's a very short supply.
Isn't that a stira against normal business practice?
Yes, this is really a stira against economics 101,
exactly,
if you will. Because typically as supply goes up, cost level goes down, exactly, and vice versa. However, I guess in a communist country, this would be not as uncommon. So we are talking about North Korea here.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I didn't preface. I think the Art Scroll actually says in its intro, this is a North Korean Gemara. Right?
Matter of fact,
not exactly communist, but it's close enough.
If you open up the front cover, it says edited by Kim Jong-un.
Exactly, right. Right. Actually bombed by him as well.
Yes.
So anyway, you're right. This is actually against the economic your economic theories. That's
true. Why does such a thing happen in this?
I don't know if we're as concerned about this mitzius as we are about the fact that Rabbi Hanina is saying, or seems to be saying, that we're concerned about two factors. There's a factor of supply and there's a factor of price level. And that's how we determine whether something is considered a famine or not. But Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan throws in a curveball over here, or I should say, he throws in an extra change, right? So he throws in another piece over here, and he says, Lo shanu ele bizman shahamoz bezul uperos biyoker. When do we say that if you have a sa'av for a sella, and it's common, that's considered a bitzurka? That's bizman shahamoz bezul. That's when money is cheap. In other words, there's plenty of money around. When there's plenty of money around, then even when the peris are biyoker, even when the fruit is expensive, then it's only considered a batzores. Because if money is cheap, meaning if people have money and people are doing well, then even though it costs a lot to get your tvua, you can still get your tvua. Avamos biyoker. But if money is expensive, meaning that there is a shortage of money and there is great poverty around, then peros bezul. Even if you have peros that are bezul, meaning even if you have very cheap fruit, it doesn't matter because you have a very, very tough time getting hold of money, then masrin alei miyad. So what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, it's not simply dependent on supply and price level, because obviously you need to look at the general, how the economics of families, and if people can afford it or not. And so Rabbi Yochanan qualifies Rabbi Hanina's statement and says, what he's saying is only true in certain cases. That's where money is readily available. But if money is not available, then you got problems. As he says, Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says, Nehir, now I remember when I was a little kid, Kadahavu Kaimi Dalitz in Besela, when I was younger, there was a situation where four sa'az of wheat were selling for a sella, so it was very, very cheap to get a hold of produce. Bahavu nefishi nefichi kafan b'taveria. But there were many distended stomachs in Taveria. In other words, people were impoverished. People were
malnourished.
What?
Malnourished,
if you will. Midales iser, because there was no money around. And so Rabbi Yochanan is asserting that it's not simply dependent on supply and price levels, as Rabbi Hanina wanted to state, but rather the situation among the poverty levels and whatnot is a factor. Are the poverty levels dictated by what?
By the prices of commodities.
By the prices of commodities. I don't think so. I'm trying to think back to my economics theories over here. Economics 101, I don't know if that's true. What is it? Is it dependent on commodity? I don't remember.
It's usually dependent
this.
On supply and demand.
What?
It's usually dependent upon supply and demand. The less you have of something access to, the more expensive it's going to be. A precious metal is going to be very expensive.
I think it's the opposite. I think supply and demand is dependent on poverty level. Depending on people's situation, but not the other way around. I might be getting this wrong.
I don't say if you have less of something, the more expensive it's going to be. If you have less of anything, it's more valuable, right? So if you have like one painting,
so you're saying scarcity of commodity or scarcity of money of resources.
Scarcity of resources
to purchase
facilitates increased poverty because you have the high price of commodities over time. That's going to make everyone poor.
Yeah, which means person could be with a wheelbarrow full of whatever, a loaf of bread.
But if the loaf of bread keeps on increasing in price, eventually it doesn't matter if your family has money, it's the basic cost of goods going up.
Well, it matters. It doesn't matter. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Okay, we need an economist. Who's an economist
around
here?
Dave Stein.
No, he's a CPA. I'm also a CPA. We don't know anything.
Same thing, man. Jack of all trades.
I took economics too. This is why we're at the situation we're in now. I don't remember my economics from college.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you should have prefaced your comments with that, and then I would have given you more credence.
No, you didn't.
You didn't say anything. I was going to refute everything that you said. Now that you say that you took international economics, it sounds very impressive. I don't know what it means, but it sounds very impressive. What? I'm very impressed.
It's a consolation. I once read the Wall Street Journal. That helps matters.
No, it doesn't help. Anyway, maybe it'll help for the next Gemara. Yardil Itzmachim Avalol Ilan. Now, that says the Mishnah, going back to the Mishnah, if any one thing happens among these three, if there's enough rain for Tzmachim, meaning for the vegetation, but there's not enough rain for the trees that need more, or there's enough trees but not for the vegetation, or there's enough for both but there's not enough for the borosichanim oros, which are the wells that house all this water for drinking and whatnot, then we have a situation where we need to cry out. We need to daven. So says the Gemara. Now bishlam al tzmachim b'lala ilan. I know a situation where you can have enough rain for vegetation, but not for rain. Mishkachas la da'asanicha. That's where it comes down nicely. It comes down without any torrential pour, without any big rains. So very light rain is still going to be good for the tzmachim. V'lo as yirazia l'ilan. But it's not coming down hard for the rain for the trees. Below Asarazia, sorry, it doesn't come down hard. Le'ilan v'lalitzmachim, and I know a situation where it can be good for the trees and not for the tzmachim. Da'as yirazia below asyanicha, where it's coming down hard, and there's no time where it's coming down softly. So if it comes down only hard, that's going to be tough for the vegetation, but it'll be good for the trees. La'zev v'la'zev v'lalaborasicha d'ma'aros, and both situations where you can have for both the trees and the vegetation, but not for the borosicha d'ma'aros, mishkachasla, that you can find, da'as yirazia v'nicha, where it does come down nicely, softly, and it also comes down hard, mihu tuva loasya, but it doesn't come down a lot. So you get some rain, and you get a lot of rain, you get hard rain, and you get soft rain, but you don't get a lot of rain, and so it doesn't fill up the wells. Elahad asanya yardi laborosicha d'ma'aros. But that which we say, that if it falls for the borosicha d'ma'aros, meaning it falls down a lot, where are you going to find where it falls down a lot, but it's not good for the tzmachim and for the ilanos? So says the Gemara, very poshut, that's where it comes down in a torrential pour. So if it comes down in a torrential pour, so the borosicha d'ma'aros, meaning these wells and caves and taverns, whatever it is, that house the water, they don't care at what pace they're coming down at. But for the trees and for the vegetation, it matters, because if it's too hard, then it's not going to work for either the trees or the vegetation. Okay. I don't know exactly why the Gemara was so bothered by that. It seems to me pretty pushed, especially in light of the fact that we had the whole story with Hunia Magel, where it was coming down in a torrential pour, and he said, no, that's not what I asked for. I asked for Gishmei Bracha. So that seems to be mashma that we know.
Isn't that also bracha, though, if it fills up the boros?
Yeah. Well, if that'll give you drinking water, but it's not going to do anything for your produce. Yeah, that does not require an economics degree.
No, but what I don't understand...
It does require an economics degree.
No, I think, and maybe it's because I'm not a farmer.
That's what it is. Well, let's just keep going then. I mean, none of us are farmers. I'm not going to be able to answer your question.
The problem with heavy rain for tzmachim is that it's like hard on it and it can like ruin it, right?
Yes.
So if you have hard rains and light rains and they're going to the same place where the tzmachim are, isn't the tzmachim already going to be ruined even though the light rain is good for it?
It's a good question. It's a very good question. What I might answer to that is that if you look at the Lashon of the Gemara, the Lashon of the Gemara is... where am I? It says... Lazeva Lazeva Lola Boris Lazeva Lamaros. Daasya Razia Venicha. See this? It says Daasya Razia Venicha. Whereas the order should have been inverted. It should have said Nicha and then Razia, because first we're talking about the vegetation, then we're talking about the Ilanos. So what's good for the vegetation is the Nicha and not the Razia. But the Gemara actually flips it. And I would be medayik that the reason why the Gemara flips it is that if the Razia, if the hard rain comes first, so then even if it ruins the Tzmachim initially, if you get a soft rain, that will bring them back.
Okay.
That would be my
guess. That's what you think.
Is it satisfying? will it allow us to go
Viking? That's his non-farmer's perspective.
Because if yes, then that is what I know.
It'll allow us to go Viking if it's the best answer.
It's the best answer I have. Yeah. What?
The hard rain.
Hard rain.
Okay. Will take and disrupt the seeds, or maybe float the seeds away.
Okay.
To somewhere else.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
I don't know
such that. The crop is, there is no crop in the proper place, it may go to somebody else's property.
It could. I don't know the answer. I am not.
But the soft rain afterwards, at that point, has no effect.
Okay. You got to ask your LOF. Your local Orthodox farmer. I do not know the answer to that.
No, but I
don't know. I can tell you. It's a mitzvah. It sounds good.
You have a plant in your house.
What?
You have a plant in your house.
I don't even have a plant in my house. I can't even say I have that.
Crops do are destroyed from overwater.
Yes, they're definitely destroyed from overwater. And the question is, what if you overwater and then you come back and you give it a little bit of water?
You kill an animal and you want to resuscitate it? What do you want
to do? You're beating a dead horse. Okay. All right. I don't know the answer, guys. I don't know the answer. That would be the best that I have for you. Moshe, your he'ara is duly noted. I do not have a teretz, but we do need to ask a farmer in the house who in base the field
there are,
is
there,
a
are
farmer.
There are landscapers in the community.
Are you,
yes.
Wait. No. Are you something brother
of his animals. So we're getting closer.
We had a pet goldfish.
This is not, well, that's true. We did get. We did.
No, I don't mean pets. I mean like he has like sheep and.
No, but I'm saying what difference does this make? How does that help us at all? I have a car. Is that going to help? I have a car. It's a minivan. Does that help us in any way?
There was recently cockroaches.
I don't know.
Oh. Flooded out.
All right, we gotta prepare for Shabbos here, guys. Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan. All right. Tana Rabbanan. Masrin al ha'ilanos befros ha'pesach. Befros ha'pesach really refers to halfway through Pesach, but it's not referring to Pesach itself. Befros ha'pesach usually befros comes from the word prusa, which means a piece. So we know that we start darshaning for Pesach, Hilchos Pesach, Kodem Pesach Shloshim Yom. So halfway through that would be 15 days. So 15 days before Pesach, if there's no rain, there's not enough rain for the Ilanos, then we start davening. Ala Boros V'Shichanim Aros. For Boros V'Shichanim Aros, if there's not water in there for basic drinking water, even when it comes to 15 days before a chag. Now, 15 days before the chag would actually wind up on Rosh Hashanah, technically. You can't fast on Rosh Hashanah. But I think that some of the Achronim say it's actually the 29th of Elul. But at any rate, about 15 days before, if there's no drinking water, then we fast for that. V'al kulon and for everything.
Some people fast for that.
Yes, there is a fast, but that's aside from this. But yes, it's true. There's a lot about fasting on Erev Rosh Hashanah, but I think that's only until Chatzos. This would be longer than that.
But I think some people have a kindness on Rosh Hashanah. There is such a concept.
Yes, I think you're right.
We don't hold by it, but there is a concept.
Yes, I think you're right. As a matter of fact, I think you're right. But again, that has nothing to do with this component. That has to do with the tshuva component. V'al kulan im ein lahem mayim lishtos. If there's no drinking water to be found anywhere, then it doesn't really matter what time of year it is. Masrin alein miyad. Right away, we start fasting. Now, what does it mean? We right away the ezuhu miyad. What is considered right away? Shalhan sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. It doesn't mean that if you find or if they the rabbanim paskin on a Friday that this is a time that we need to fast. It doesn't mean you go into fast mode on Friday. You actually wait until the following Monday. We always go Monday, Thursday, Monday. I think that there's a medrash that brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai on a Thursday and came down on a Monday. So it becomes like a Monday and Thursday are ace rut zones.
That's why
so therefore,
we have a long Tachadon on Monday, Thursday because of that reason.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's because it's a days that are ruled for supplications because of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Very good.
Say that again.
He's only listening to the stuff about
Monday. The reason why we have additional Tachadon on Monday and Thursday is because that's the day Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for the tshuva for Am Yisrael. And therefore,
I did not know that.
Work to you.
All righty then.
I can say it again if you want.
No, that's okay. You got the point. Anyway, Valkulon ein masrin elen elabaf rachya shalahem. And when it comes to different cities, countries, or areas that do not have rain, we only daven in that county, in that place. We only daven in the place that is lacking the rain. I guess that is where we, that is where our tshuva and our tfilos will be most.
Nowadays, Lamaisa, with all the access we have to what you call sprinkler systems, import-export, are these some Lamaisa halakas right now?
I don't know. I can't answer that. But I do know that the Mishnah Berurah shir that Rav Katz gives, did you go to it?
I did for a couple of years.
So when he was giving on Tainus, he skipped through a lot of this stuff. These are all Hilchos Tainus Dika stuff, and he largely skipped over a lot of this stuff because it's not really Lamaisa, even though it is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. But it's not really Lamaisa, but I don't want to say that this particular thing is not Lamaisa. I don't know. But you're right. I mean, that certainly plays a role. You know, the whole thing about not having drinking water is really not as Lamaisa.
We don't feel the pain of it as much.
We don't feel the pain of it as much. It's true. It's true. We don't. Which is a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing and a bad thing. Okay. Va'asachra, talking about, now that we're on the topic of fasting and whatnot, so we come on to a little bit of a tangent. Va'asachra is a type of sickness which starts in the stomach and leads its way up to the throat area, mouth area. I know exactly what it is. Bizman sheyesh bamisa, when death is accompanied with this type of illness, then we daven for it. Bizman sheyein bamisa, ein masrin aleha. 1 second, let me get to the Tana Rabbanan first. Umasrin ala govai. We also fast for the govai, which are the locusts. If you see a locust, you got to start fasting, because that's b'chol shehu. Even if you see a little bit of it, even if you see one or two govais, that's not a good thing, because if you see one govai, you're going to see many govais, let me tell you.
Husband of one.
Yeah.
But aren't they kosher?
What?
Depends.
Govais?
Certain species.
Some certain species
are
of locusts
are...
Yeah,
they
it's irrelevant. The point is that they eat up the crops. And they
right, but then you could kill them, they won't eat them, you could eat them, and they... and then...
No. Are you trying to get
a
you know how many
yeah,
there are?
Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Aymer, even on the Chagav. Now, even the Chagav itself is...
That's kosher. It's a grasshopper.
The Chagav can be kosher. Yeah, we don't know nowadays. Well, we do know, actually. Kanievsky wrote a sefer on this.
Taimenians still have the tradition. They have a Masor.
The what?
Yemenites. Which ones are kosher? Which ones
yeah,
are?
Rav Chaim wrote a book on this. This is a famous. This is the famous. I think it's in. It's quoted in the Rebbetzin Kanievsky sefer.
Really?
About the that her husband was writing a sefer on the kosher chagav. You heard this?
No.
Well, the famous story. He was writing a sefer on the kosher chagav, and he was tripped up on one aspect of the chagav, and then a grasshopper just came onto his table, and he was able to.
But that's not the best part. The best part is, after he did that, he had another question, and the grasshopper came back.
Oh!
Fantastic.
I
have cockroaches in my apartment.
So beat that, Chaim.
Okay,
anyway. Fine, did you have a question, Moshe?
No, I just wanted, you know, it had a footnote on the Askaran, okay, and it said... throat is constricted, causing difficulty in breathing.
Difficulty in breathing, that's not good.
All contagious diseases.
What?
Ruling applies to all contagious.
All contagious diseases.
This was what they found meeting with Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah, they had Askara? Uh-huh. But if it applies to all contagious diseases, so now where, I mean, what does that mean? What if you have the flu?
Yeah.
What if the
flu? Swine
flu? All of a sudden,
yeah.
the whole community is going to be babbling for the flu?
Yeah.
Wimp. Is a standard flu contagious?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's contagious. If it's the flu?
It's a virus.
It's contagious. It's a what?
It's a virus.
It's contagious.
So
believe me, I got it for my whole family. Everybody was hopping around. What?
Basically, restrict the person's activities. Keep them in
the bubble.
In one place.
Bubble boy.
Right.
Yeah. It's a Seinfeld reference. Don't worry about it. Here we go. Says the Gemara Vayter Tana Rabbana, Masrin al Hailanos Beshar Shnei Shavua. We daven for the Ilanos, for trees, if the trees are lacking rain, Beshar Shnei Shavua, in any year except for the Shemitah year. Now, you can't work the land in the Shemitah year, so if the trees are suffering on the Shemitah year, it's too bad. Al HaBoros Val HaSichir Val HaMaros. And when it comes to a lack of rain for those, afilu b'shvias, even on the shvias. Because why? Because we always need drinking water. It doesn't matter if shvias or not shvias, you're always going to need drinking water. Therefore, if we're low on drinking water, you got daven for that even on Shemitah. But Rav Shimon Gamliel Aimer, he disagrees and he says, afal ilanos b'shvias. Even for the trees we daven on shvias. Why? Because the aniyim are allowed to go out and collect. And since we need to take care of the aniyim as well, if the ilanos are suffering, we are suffering. Tanya Idach is another braisa that says almost exactly this. Masrin al ilanos b'shnar shei shavua. We cry out for the trees on every other year besides the Shemitah year. Al aboros v'alasichem alam aros afilo b'shvias. Even on the seventh year, for the wells that don't have water, we cry out. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, af al ilanos masrin. We cry out for the ilanos. Al hasvichin b'shvias, and on the svichin. Now, what is svichin? Svichin are the crops, are the aftergrowth, basically. What the svichin are? You're holding in zroim. So you want to explain to everybody what svichin are?
I understand it to be things that like sprout on their own. That
correct.
Nobody worked it to initiate it.
Exactly. So if after you gathered your crops in the sixth year, so there are seeds that fall off, and so they grow on their own during the seventh year. So for that, he says, Allah svichin b'shvias, we still cry out if there's a lack of svichin or if the svichin are doing poorly, even though we haven't grown it ourselves or anything, we still cry out for them. Why? Again, because they are fit for the yaniyim. Tanya, the Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Prata, Miyom shecharav Beis HaMikdash, from the times that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, this is good for the 9 days, Nasu Gishamim Tzimukim La'olam. The rain has become tzimukim, has become dried up, scarce for the world.
Tzimukim, isn't that the same word for raisins?
Yeah.
Which is close to the same word?
Yeah, shriveled up.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like a... There's a lack of it, basically. Yes, tzimukim. Grogos v'tzimukim. That's a lashon for dried up fruits.
Oh, it's not just dried grapes.
Wait. No, it's any type of, I think,
David. David.
Yes.
With regard to sufficient rain for the trees.
Yes.
Okay. In a Shemitah year, if there's a drought regarding the trees.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you also say that, all right, on the one hand, yeah, that the aniyim come to, you know, to take, okay, but can you also say that if there's a drought in the Shemitah year that continued from, say, the previous year, okay, that as a result, the trees could, I don't know, rot away or go bad or whatever, to the extent that there will be no further vegetation from the trees after the Shemitah for the next cycle, as a rationale of why to why to fast for the trees. Do I make sense?
I don't think so.
No,
I don't know. I don't know, Moshe. The Gemara says, for the Aniyim we cry out, for everybody else. I don't know. I don't
it's
know.
Hard to follow your question.
No, no, no. That's what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
I'm
what are you saying?
That if the trees have suffered drought, and then Shemitah year comes along, and the drought continues, okay, the adverse
I don't know.
Effect
I don't know.
On the trees for future growth past the Shemitah year to the next cycle.
I don't know. I don't know.
What's the question?
Oh, come on.
I don't know. I don't know the answer, Moshe. I don't know.
It sounds like you're not understanding what I'm even asking.
Say, ask it again. Moshe, ask it again. Ask it again.
Whatever.
Yeah. Not is that?
No.
Therefore, I don't get it. I don't know. I don't know what the question is. What?
Therefore, I don't know if I know the answer. You should know the answer.
I don't think I should know the answer. I don't know the answer to these things. I don't know.
Can you dive into the streets and therefore the trees because of the
echo? That's the question. I don't know the answer. Ask your LOF. Here we go. Here we go.
Otsar Beis Din. Ask the Otsar Beis Din in like three years.
Ask
right?
the Otsar Beis Din in 3 years. Tell me what they say. That'll be your project. Thank you for volunteering.
It
says the Gemara. Yeshana Shagash Meham Rubim Yeshana Shagash Meham Rubim. There are years in which there is much rain, and there are years in which there is very little rain. There are years where the Geshem comes at the right time, and there are years where it does not come at the right time. What would it be similar to when the rain comes at the right time? That would be the following mashal. That's like a case where the Eved is given from his master his parnasa for the week on the Sunday. Nimtzeis isa nefes ketikna. So we find that the dough is baked perfectly on time and with plenty of time. And so necheles ketikna, therefore it's eaten properly, meaning that it tastes good because he has all of his ingredients, everything that he needs on Sunday. He has plenty of time to go out and get what he needs in order to bake properly for the entire week. But shana she'en gashmir yordan bizmanam, but a year in which the rain does not fall down in the right time, lamahu doy mele evin shanasin l'rabo parnasas be'erev Shabbos. That's like a person who's rushed, and he's given his parnasa on Erev Shabbos, he's given all of his ingredients on Erev Shabbos, he's got a couple hours to get it done before Shabbos. Nimtzeis isa nefes shelo ketikna, v'nechela shelo ketikna. We find that it's prepared hastily, and therefore it doesn't taste as good. And so, when the rain falls down bizmana, everything is kiseder. But when it doesn't fall down bizmana, then we have to worry about things not growing properly and not tasting quite as good. That is, now, what exactly this, I don't know the answer, what exactly this mushel is helping us with. I mean, I don't know why we couldn't just understand that we need rain bizmana. And what exactly is the mushel helping us understand better that I didn't without the mushel? I don't know. But nevertheless, shana shegashmeha merubin, if you have a year in which there is much rain, lamahu dome, what is that similar to? Le'eved shanasan l'rabu parnasasu babasachas. That's similar to an eved who is given from his master parnasa all at once. Nimtzu rechaim tochnos minakor, mashe tochnos minakav. You find that the mill will grind from a core what it can grind from a kav. And nimtzeis isa ocheles min hakor kmo ocheles min hakav. Okay, what is going on here? What's going on is the following mushel. Understanding is when they had this mill and they used to grind the wheat with the mill, so the stone that they would grind with had cracks in it. And so when they would grind the wheat, some of the wheat particles and the, I guess, the flour particles or whatever, the soles or whatever it was that it made, would insert themselves into the cracks, and it would essentially get lost. It would get lost within the stone of the grinder. And so, if you had a situation where you were given wheat piecemeal, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, you would be doing multiple grindings, and every time you grind, you're going to have wheat stuck more and more into the cracks of the stone. Whereas, if you're given all the ingredients at once, and you're just continuously grinding at one time, there's going to come a point where the cracks are filled up, and the rest is going to be your solus, is going to be your flour. And so therefore, if you're given an abundance of rain, it's much better than if you're given rain a piecemeal, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit there. Because as we know, when you get a little bit of rain, so what happens? It finds its way into the cracks and crevices of the ground that aren't helpful. But if you have much rain, then the cracks and crevices where the rain would go to are going to get filled up. And the rest of the rain is going to go to the parts of the land that are necessary for growth. And so therefore, hence the mushel of, if you're given a lot of grain at once, so then you lose less than if you're given grains piecemeal. Okay. And similarly, a year in which the rain is, there's a shortage of rain, or it's given very little at a time. L'mahu domer, what is that similar to? Same thing. That's similar to where he is given his grain little by little. So you find that the mills are now grinding from a core what it would grind from a kav, and nimtzeis isa kamashone acheles min a core or acheles min a kav. The same situation, only it's the opposite effect, in that if you're grinding once, then some of the wheat is going to find itself inserted into the stone, and it's not usable. And then a week later, you come to grind again, and the same thing happens. And so if you're grinding piecemeal, you're going to lose a lot more than if you grind all at once. And so that's the advantage of it. Okay, quick.
Question. The stone and the grain embeds in the cracks in the stone.
If this is a complicated question, because I don't know grains, I don't know. I don't know mills. I know general mills. I don't know mills.
So
don't ask me mill questions.
Wouldn't people tend to lean
only
the crevices?
Yes, only if they're given the wheat piecemeal. When you're given the wheat piecemeal, and let's say one day you're given a little bit of wheat, and then you clean it out between each grinding. That leads to more grain getting inserted into the cracks. Whereas, if you're given this massive amount, you just say, okay, this hour I'm just going to grind. So you grind. You're not going to be cleaning it out in the process. This is not baking matzahs here.
Yeah.
You're not cleaning it out. So you lose less.
By cleaning the crevices, you end up losing more.
Correct. So you'll say, why even clean the crevices? Because they need to be cleaned every once in a while. You can't have the stone where it's not good for the grinder if it's got pieces inserted in it. Davar acher, bizman shegashmeh meruvin, when there's much rain, lamahu domer la'adam shemegabel esatit, is another mushel. It's similar to a person who is kneading mortar. Im yishlo mayim rabim, if he's got plenty of rain, plenty of water, mayim einam kalim, then there's no shortage of water, v'hatid megubal yafe. And then you get a good amount of mortar going on there, because there's plenty of water and you can get a good gezunta kneading. Im yishlo mayim muatim, but if there's a shortage of water, mayim kalim, there's water runs out, v'hatid einam mezgabal yafe, and the mortar does not get kneaded well, and then you have bad mortar. And this, believe it or not, is where we're going to stop, because the following Gemaras for the next Daf at least, actually Daf plus, are Agaditas, and fantastic Agaditas at that. So we get treated for the 9 days. We actually have a little bit of Simcha to look forward to. Okay.
Shabbos.
Alright. Moshe, I apologize, I didn't understand your question.
No.
But I wasn't gonna understand it either.
It was a complicated
question. I had no chance at the outset. You got to LOF. You got to ask your local farmer. These are not good cereals.
Yeah.
I noticed this next almond. Why is